McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sigurd scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
It is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the mighty Falkirk Bairns, and it seems an eternity ago since we last spoke. This week we look back at our and look forward to the Scottish Cup final, quarter final against Ayr United. I'm saying Scottish Cup final, I'm getting well ahead of myself. It's been a bit of a topsy-turvy week though, to say the least, and that will be the last time I ever use the phrase topsy-turvy. But let's look back at it together, and as usual, I am joined by Mr. Ross Wayne. Hello, Ross.
Good evening, sir. You doing okay? You're smiling probably like me.
I am smiling. I wasn't smiling a week last Tuesday, that's for sure. But we'll get into that. We'll just briefly touch it. It seems like so long ago, but I think there's things we need to discuss about that match against Alloa. So we'll get into that in a bit. You were obviously in Darvel on Monday night. I missed it because not only I thought just work-wise, because I start at ridiculous early hours of the morning, I wasn't ever going to kind of make it up and back just because my alarm goes off at 4. So I sat and watched it on the telly. I'm glad I didn't get a ticket because I had food poisoning. So I sat in my bed basically watching it, feeling sorry for myself. But it didn't stop me cheating like hell when those two goals went in quick because it's succession.
Well, listen, I definitely cheered both of the early goals. I didn't see either of the goals go in, but I definitely cheered it. It was one of those moments where it was quite surreal because people, obviously, who at the front who could see started going mental and you're like, oh, we've scored, so everyone else has gone mental. It was so bad in terms of like how many people were there in that tight space.
Yeah. Really bad. A lot of complaints about the crowd, but I mean, on the telly, it was fine, Ross, I'll be honest with you. But what a great atmosphere, and we'll get into the Darvel game a bit later on in the show with our guest pundit as well. But listen, before we get into the podcast, I need to big up Temple. I was in Temple on Friday night, Ross.
Right.
Right, okay. I know you're looking at me strangely. I wasn't in for the traffic light party, for the Valentine's traffic light party. However, I was in, there was a gig. Richard Jobson from the Skids, Pfeiffer, who was doing a kind of Q&A, and he had Martin Metcalf, who was in a band called Goodbye Mr. McKenzie, there in a supporter. Bumped into a well-kent face, and actually one of our former guest pundits, Scotty Steele, and Sandy Muir as well. So good night, was in the Colonial, had a couple of pints with Sandy and Scotty in there. Found out, however, the best fat from Sandy. So Sandy's a bit of a mod, you know, likes his scooters and what have you. And, you know, we were talking about gigs that had happened in Falkirk, you know, big gigs. You know, and found out things like Ultravox played Grangemouth Town Hall, Simple Minds had played there. And there's a legendary gig that happened back in the 70s. The Jam actually played the Maniky.
Wow, okay, didn't know that, no.
So there you go. Now, this is where the story starts to grow arms and legs, right? Because I was informed on Friday night after this gig that Paul Weller, we all know Paul Weller, lead singer of the Jam, Style Council, obviously Wild Woods, Stanley Knowles, all that sort of stuff. Paul Weller's favourite curry house in the entire world is the Sanam.
No.
Apparently so, right? Now, Sandy told me this with a straight face. He also told me about a man in Grangemouth who stole Paul Weller's shoes and still has them to this day. But I don't know how true that is. But yeah, so basically, Jam played the Maniky, right? And that happened in 1977, right? The Sanam opened in Falkirk in 1976, right? So there could be a possibility this story could be true. So I'm now going on a mission to find out if Paul Weller's favourite curry house in the UK is the Sanam.
Brilliant.
So this is my current mission. I am going to get on this. I know people who know people who know people. And I'm going to try and get to Paul Weller and find out if this is true, because this would be a podcast exclusive, right?
Brilliant.
So let's make that happen. So that was Paul Weller fact. And another fact we found out, and this was just before the hour game, Ross, you were with me, is that there are only two grave diggers in the whole of Falkirk.
Yeah, that was a random
a random conversation before the Ala game, because you know what it's like when you go to football and you just have, you know, you're waiting for the game and the players are getting warmed up, you're chatting about football, chatting about just random things in life, and one of our friends turned around and said, do you know there's only two gravediggers in the whole Falkirk district?
That's what not going to the pub midweek happens to.
I know, that fact absolutely blew my mind. And then we got in a conversation, how long does it take a body to decompose?
this is all pre-match as well.
This was all pre-match. But there, a couple of facts for you. There you go. Number one, Paul Weller's favourite curry house is the San Am. And number two, there are only two gravediggers in the whole Falkirk district. There you go. Really? Fascinating facts brought to you by Falkirk Daft. So a couple of bits and bobs to talk about, and let's talk about it first of all before we get into the game, because we know we're through now. The Scottish Cup draw, it couldn't have went better for us financially, and I'm guessing the board are thinking, you know, Celtic and Rangers away would have been nice. However, the best chance we've got of getting to a semi-final
is this tie.
It really is. Air at home.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, mate. And obviously, we didn't know we're through by this point, but and it would have been the same wherever you watch the draw. But we, the bus for Monday night, we're leaving early, it's at 6, so pub's pretty busy with everybody in going to the game. And it was a hell of a cheer when it came out that we got air. So we just needed at that point then to go and beat Darvel. So you were still, you had that doubt in the back of your mind, is it going to be for us? And we now know it is. Brilliant draw. Can't wait to get the confirmed details. I don't think it'll matter, though. I think there'll be a huge crowd there.
Yeah. I'd love it to be. It would be amazing if it was the Friday night game, because presumably the Old Firm are going to get the Saturday, Sunday, because they're showing four games. Viaplay will have two. The BBC will have two.
You would assume so. Yeah.
Presumably, the Old Firm games will be the Saturday and the Sunday, which means it's either Monday and Friday. If it's a Friday night under the floodlights at the stadium, what a night that would be.
I know. And we've done well with Friday night games. Queen of the South recently, and then we beat Partick on a Friday night. But I think, regardless of when it is, John, I think there'll be a huge Falkirk crowd in there. Air, I don't know. They're not as well supported as they used to be. I think they would meet. They'll maybe bring 500 or 600 through.
I was looking at their average attendance actually the other day. They're getting kind of average, kind of two something. Just around that, so they might bring 1500, maybe a bit more than that.
I don't know, mate. I don't know if that's too advanced. Maybe worth. Maybe
well, if it is, it depends on the night. If it's a Friday night, they might bring. If it's a Monday night, they might bring less. You know.
Yeah. But I think there'll be a right good crowd there. Hopefully, it's priced well. I know it's a quarter final, so it's not as if it's going to be £10, right? But well, obviously, it was £20 on Monday night, and I saw nothing. So even if it's £20, I'll at least see some of the game at Falkirk Stadium. So, but yeah, hopefully it's priced well, and there'll be a big crowd in on TV. We know it's going to be on TV anyway, and what a chance we've got to get into a semi. Amazing.
I'm just thinking of how TV works, and like if they would get a bigger audience on the Friday night or the Monday night. I don't know how that would work. Depends. It might be the. I'm just thinking we'd get a bigger audience on a Monday night, but then the Monday night's up against Monday night football on Sky. I don't know how it works, but yeah, we'll wait and see what happens with that game.
I think the club have put out one of these newsletters earlier, just an hour or two ago. What is it called? Bairns View, they call it. So, and they've said, they've actually said on there, there'll be an announcement very, very shortly about the timing of the game and the day, the fixture. So I don't know if we'll get a price of the game, but we'll certainly get the day and the time.
Well, one thing I would say that it has spoiled my hospitality in Montrose for that weekend, because I'd booked up hospitality up there. So now I've lost all my money on my train fare. I'll get the money back from the hospitality, but all the money's been lost in the train fare.
So you're going to have a day out in Montrose on a Saturday, are you?
Well, there's the possibility, however, Ross, let me tell you about this, that we might move it to Montrose versus Dunfermline, because we're playing Kelty on the Friday night. It's the day of the Scotland, and Montrose kick off against Dunfermline at 4 o'clock. So there is a potential that I might be in the Montrose end to support Montrose against Dunfermline.
Give them hell, John.
That's potential. We'll wait and see about that. Listen, We've been on the competition on our social media. If you don't follow our social media, where have you been? Get us at Falkirk Daft on all channels. And we've been running a competition to win tickets to the now sponsored Logiccom Speakers Night, which is to raise money, obviously, for the Academy. Peter Martin, Alan Ruff are going to be hosting that on the 3rd of March. And we have tickets to give away to that night, Ross.
We do. So for, I think it's been the last 2 weeks, actually, we've been running a competition, as you've just said, to win, I'll just bring the post up just now, actually, while we're doing this. So yeah, it's to win two free tickets to the speaker's night. So it's worth about £120. So well worth having entered. Lots of people entered on our Facebook page and on Twitter. So we'll check that just now to see which medium we're going to go to try and find the winner. But yeah, really, really good. So as you say, Peter and Ruffy are the speakers. Sounds like it's heading for a sellout. I don't know if there's too many tickets left, maybe a few tables. So if people aren't successful, just get in touch with the club to buy their ticket. It sounds like a brilliant night. And obviously it's raising money for the Academy, which we all want back.
No, absolutely. Ruffy's a really, really good speaker. I've seen him before. Right, so how are we doing this? We go flip a coin tell them, first of all, if it's Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, so heads for Facebook, tails right. For Twitter, firstly. Let's do that.
I'll flip the coin in, and it is tails for Twitter.
Right, okie dokie. So what we'll do is, currently, 31 people have retweeted the original post, which was what we asked them to do. I'll start scrolling. Just tell me stop and whatever.
I see what you're doing. Yep, right. So start scrolling. I'll tell you when it's up. Go, right. go.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay. My finger has landed on. His Twitter handle is Homer, at Homer's Twin.
Homer's Twin.
There you go.
Well done, mate. You have won a pair of tickets to that speaker's night at the Enshire. Congratulations, Homer. Do you think he's called Homer's Twin because he looks a bit like Homer Simpson?
Let me check.
Check his profile picture.
Let me check it. Oh, do you know, I've just went on his Twitter and it looks like it's his birthday. You know how Twitter tells you when it's somebody's birthday. So there we
go. What a birthday treat that is.
That's a wee birthday treat for him. No, I don't think he does look like Homer, actually. It must be a nickname from days gone by. There you go.
Well, there you go. Well done, Homer's Twin. They're on Twitter winning tickets for that Academy night. And like Ross says, tickets are still available if you fancy going down there. Unfortunately, Ross, you're on his table, so you behave yourself, all right?
No, I can't promise it.
Right, well, fair enough. Right, so they've got a shout out to do as well. It comes in from Paul Lawson, who's looking for a shout out for the Falkirk Seniors team who are playing Dunfermline football fans in training on Sunday down at Little Kerse. Kickoff 4:15 PM down there.
Ooh, that could be tasty.
Senior people against football fans in training. It should be an interesting. How old do you have to be getting the senior team, I wonder?
No, it's not like seniors as in like 60s. Is it not like plus 35 or something like that?
Or I don't know. I thought that was over 35. So I thought
I think you have to be 35 and over or something like that. So it's not seniors. It's like
right. Okay, that's taking the vision out of my head that I had about over 60s kicking flying about against.
I think it's, I think you just need to be over 35. I'm sure.
Right. Okay. Right. All right. Fine. Then that's fine. So get that little chaos 4:15 to hopefully a Bairns win there. That would be very tasty.
The first of many against Dunfermline, hopefully.
Exactly. Bit of news from the club. Not much this week. The only thing that's sort of come out from the club is the SPFL Trust Trophy between Raith and Hamilton. That's going to be held at the Falkirk Stadium Sunday, 26th of March. You know, it's going to be on the telly. It might be worth going down, having a watch at that. Yeah, it's going to bring money into the club, presumably, you know. Yep. Anyway. So,
yeah, no, good to see. And as you say, it might not be a huge sum, but do you know what? The stadium might be like where it would have been lying empty that day anyway. So, good to see. And not one for me. I don't know if I'd fancy going down to watch it. But,
I don't fancy either. But yeah, I'm trying to be encouraging and try to be positive, you know.
I don't know what kind of crowd doing Raith and Hamilton all.
Well, Raith not going out for a third on the spin? I think this is Raith. I think this could be Raith. Raith could be up there challenging us for going for five. I'm sure if Raith win this will be their third Challenge Cup win in the spin.
Okay. Well, on that case, let's root for Hamilton then.
On the Hamilton. We don't want our record broken. So we'll wait and see what happens there. The other thing happening is the FSS AGM. It's coming really, really soon. Deadline has just passed for joining to be eligible to vote or stand for the election. The AGM papers are out now for that as well. Nomination window opens the 17th this Friday. Cozies on the 24th. The election window then opens on the 27th. Cozies on the 10th of March. And the outcome of the elections will be on the 13th of the 3rd. We spoke to Stuart on last show. He's standing down, obviously. A few people standing down from the committee. So they're basically looking to build the committee up with this election again. So that's the dates you need to know. If you're a member of the FSS, you can get involved, about nominate yourself from this Friday for any of the positions available. So that's happening there. Right, before we get into the Darvel match, Ross, I think it would be worthwhile, like I say, looking back at the hour, and I just want to kind of skim over our, for obvious reasons, but we'll get our guest pundit on for the Darvel match. But yeah, let's look back at last Tuesday in the match against Alloa. We were both through at Rex for that match. And the immediate thing that hit you is when you looked at that team lineup and went, what the hell is going on? For a team that has been so John McGlynn's been so consistent, his team changes, a lot of people shouting for Burrow to get into the side. You know, obviously we've brought in the new guys, Wright and Allen as well. And then you looked at that side against Alloa, you went, what's going on? Morrison out, Kennedy out, and Gary Oliver dropping to the bench with Ramarn, Jordan and Finn coming into the side. Went slightly tactically different, playing a kind of, was it a 4-3-1?
I think it was like a 4-1-3-2 or something. But it just didn't work, Burry, did it? It didn't work at all. And let's face it, we were kind of out of the game until he did start to make the changes in the second half, but it was pretty turgid. It was a tough watch up until then.
It was. I mean, the first half was pretty tough going. I mean, a couple of things to talk about. You know, there was, Alloa obviously hitting the post. That was sent worrying signs there. There was a chance for Ramarn. I know you were screaming at him when he cut back inside and then tried to square it when he could have just tried to place it there. It just didn't look like we had any flow to our game, and we went direct. I mean, that was obviously, and you just wonder if that kind of thought process from McGlynn was that this is what's going to be like down at Darvel. So, and you know, Mick Kennedy was launching in the stands, and you thought, I'm going to try something different here. And I mean, it just didn't work, did it?
No. It was probably the poorest we've played since, I'm thinking, remember the Dundee Challenge Cup tie back in early December. I think it's the worst we've played since then. Just didn't get going. just didn't get going. The formation, they looked as if they were just all over the place. Like we forgot how to play with each other. Yeah, as you said, the changes came in. Not bad changes, because Jordan Allen's a good striker. Ramarn Burrow's a good striker, as we know. And Finn Yates in the midfield doesn't sound like that's his natural position. So. Yeah. It just seemed to throw them. And if anyone was going to score, it was definitely going to be Alloa until a particular point in the game when he made the changes. And you score so late on and you think that's you done. And I remember turning around to you, and that was probably a schoolboy error by me, but I remember turning to you just after we scored, and there's your seven. We've not done seven before. And then lo and behold, we don't get the seven runs in the bounce.
An absolute knife through the heart. I mean, the triple sub in Morrison in particular came on and looked like he had the bit between his teeth, you know, involved in everything as soon as he got in. Great finish, great, loved that from Gary Oliver, great fox in the box, brilliant finish from Gary Oliver for the goal. And at 87th minute, like you say, you're thinking,
it's done.
See it. And then for some unknown reason, Brad McKay thought he was playing volleyball. And I mean, we could see it. We were behind the goals at the other end, and you could see as soon as he touched it, it was a blatant penalty.
What was happening last Tuesday? You had Mackie, who misjudged the header and thought, oh, do you know, I'm just going to catch the ball. And then he quite rightly gets hooked by John McGlynn. And then you've got Mackay.
Okay, he didn't shake it. By the way, I noticed that Mackay didn't look like he shook his hat, shook his hand when he went off. He was raging.
I noticed that. And then you've got Mackay doing that at the end there as well. And you're just like, why are we throwing this away? And it was thrown away. And do you know what didn't really help as well? And I didn't realise this until after the game. But the guy who scored their penalty was the wee shite who was fouling constantly all night and didn't get booked.
Yeah.
So, the ref. The ref. We know only too well in this league. But
yeah, Callum Scott, by the way, was Tuesday night's referee. Callum Scott, just to out him there. Another terrible match. We had a good shout for a penalty as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Morrison had that chance when it was 1-0 as well, and he hit the side net in, and you're just like,
we thought it was in at our angle as well, didn't we? We thought it was in.
I know. But I don't know what Big Brad was playing at. He's been so... I think Brad, up until him, was having a great game. Actually, over the last month or so, Brad's been excellent. I really think just... And I've talked about him on the show, and I think, you know, he's just strong at the back. He's physical. He's great at set pieces. And we'll get into it a bit later on, but the one thing worrying me about that in that game in particular is just set pieces and corners.
Yeah.
We saw that, I think, at Darvo as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, he's good to have in the box for those things. And I worry slightly from set pieces when Brad's not there as well. It was a bit of a killer. And you know what the biggest killer of it was? Of all of it was, some stupid arsehole in Clap Manager Council decided to set up roadworks during the game.
Yeah.
What is going on?
It should take an hour and 20 minutes to get back from bloody
hell. It was murder. Getting out of Alloa. I don't know what idiot said, do you know what? Falkirk could just come over to play Alloa. Do you know what we'll do during the game? We'll set up some temporary traffic lights ahead of the Clapmanshire Bridge.
An hour and 20 minutes.
I know. Early contenders for Falkirk Dafties of the Week, by the way. Traffic lights set up at the Clapmanshire Bridge, right. A couple of views from the supporters, Ross. We'll fire through these before we get into the Darvel game. Stuart says, absolutely woeful till we made the changes. Still, till that, it was only Alloa that were going to score. We now need to stick with 4-2-3-1 formation. It's two up front, doesn't work. We need Kai and Cal Wide as they're our biggest threat. Given the performance first half, I was happy with the point.
Yeah, well, that's kind of... I think that's what hurt most, because you...
I don't want to be with that. I don't want to be with a point. I don't want to be with a point up to that 87th minute.
Indeed. Killian says, appalling play from us most of the game. Burrell and McCann seemed well off their game. Morrison was a saving grace for us tonight, and the referee couldn't tell the difference between Connor Salmon's bald head and the floodlights.
Jimmy, we were fortunate to get a draw 20 minutes in. It was clear the selection was a mistake, two up front, but no width was always going to be a struggle. We still get bullied in the centre of park as well. I can see that, but I think Henderson, and we'll obviously talk about further when we get into the Darvel game, Henderson has made a massive difference in that middle of the park.
He definitely has made a huge difference. I wonder if, and I'm a big fan of him, we're a big fan of him, but Finn Yates just didn't work well in midfield on last Tuesday night. I thought he came on and did okay on Monday, but against Alloa, that just never worked. SP Offshore says, fair result, if not a lucky point for Falkirk. Burrell shouldn't start. He's great for bringing in late when opposition defenders are tired, but if he starts, he gets tired at the same pace and is nullified. He also encourages the team to launch long balls more often, leading to loss in possession. Morrison needs to start every game. It's clear that he's our best player, if not the best player in the league. He just needs to get out his own way with his temper and trying to be the sort of big guy, I suppose. But
I think Rick, quite rightly, went absolutely ballistic at the referee and the linesman, because he was getting fouled, and it was like,
you can understand why he got frustrated with the ref. And I think I would have took a booking off him as well, to be honest. But he just the ref was just awful again. Feels like a broken record.
It does feel, in this league, it's absolutely terrible. Jim says, we didn't deserve to win that game, not by a country mile. So, wasn't a kick in the balls, really. To be honest, the one ball game is very frustrating to watch. It was very un-McGlynn-like to play that way. It was like we thought we'll play our at their own game, but it just didn't work. We're lucky versus Kelty and didn't deserve anything tonight, in my opinion. That was from Jim back in the
Indeed. And then last but not least, Stuart says 85 minutes felt like a good point. Feels like two dropped now, though. Confident we can go on another 5 or 6 game winning run. Here's
well,
hoping.
That's something we need to do, because flash forward to Saturday and we're all sitting, you know, watching Sky Sports Centre, listening to the radio, whatever you were doing, and you start hearing the scores coming from the, what is it, the Penny Car Stadium now? 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, and you're going, here we go. This is it. Brilliant. Yep. Thank God for Airdrie. But then they get a man sent off, and it was just...
It looked a dodgy sending off as well, from what I saw. I never watched all the game, obviously, or just a sort of snippet, but tough going to get.
I know. For the neutral, I mean, you think maybe they just don't get a man sent off. They take the penalty, you know, and, you know, flat, but it's just like, you know, it was hard going. And then this is the problem with Dunfermline. It's going to problem, you know, they've only lost one game this season. Mm-hmm. You know, they've only lost one game. They've not lost a game since going back to October. Mm-hmm. For us to expect them to, you know, bear in mind it's we've got two games against them, but 7 points, it's out of our hands now.
It is currently, but they do have this doubleheader with Airdrie. Maybe they won't win both games. Well, fingers crossed they don't win both games. So Airdrie are going to need to go to East End Park now and put another shift in and try and...
Hopefully that on Saturday's fired up. Hope that when that happens on Saturday, but it was a bit of a killer. After the result on Tuesday, then seeing that happen on Saturday, you're just like, Jesus, it's going to be tough, and I've got my head in the playoffs, Ross. I'm sorry, I've got my head in the playoffs now. I don't think...
Give up, John. Never give up.
I know. And expect the unexpected and all that sort of stuff. But my head is firmly in the playoffs now after that week.
Listen, the playoffs aren't... compared to where we've finished the last couple of seasons, the playoffs are definitely seen as an improvement. So let's give the team and John McGlynn that credit. It is definitely, but... It's Dunfermline, and we're not a million miles away in terms of points and stuff. I think if we didn't have the games in hand, I think I'd be where you are. I think I'd be sitting thinking this is done. But we do have the games in hand, and I just don't see them winning.
Game in hand. Let's just call it that.
And I know we need to go at it as well. But yeah. It'll be tough. But
and the thing with being in the Scottish Cup now, moving that Montrose game, I don't know why, but moving that Montrose game to a midweek fixture as opposed to a Saturday fixture, I think that goes against us as well. I don't know why my headspace is like that with that, but...
I don't know, John, we've done well midweek games most of the season. Yeah. And
I guess when you put into perspective, a lot of these guys at Montrose and teams like that will be working during the day and then going straight into a competitive football match night where we've got the full-time team. So that maybe works in our favour. But it's going to be an uphill struggle. But, you know, like you say, 2 wins against Dunfermline, back to a point, and just win all the games we possibly can, starting against Alloa on Saturday, which we'll talk about in a bit. But let's talk about the big game this week. The whole of Scotland against Falkirk. Every week on Falkirk Daft, we'd like to welcome a guest pundit on, and this week, of course, is no exception. Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Callum Wilson. How you doing, Callum?
No bad guy, yourself.
Good man.
Great, yeah. Good to have you on, Callum. Right, listen, we can see, if you're watching the video version, you're actually live at the stadium as we speak, working for the Falkirk Foundation.
Yep.
Tell us about the work that you do there, Callum.
So basically, I coach a different range of programmes, and I've been here for nearly 3-4 years now, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things that's happened to me.
What made you get into it, apart from your love of Falkirk? What inspired you to get involved with the Foundation?
I think it was playing football. Like I got a leg injury, which made me lose my leg, unfortunately, when I was little, so I couldn't play football.
Jeez.
So I wanted to be involved in football, and I seen my dad. He's a coach here as well, and I'm like, yeah, it looks interesting. So it was through the school. I came through on a work placement for a week, and after that work placement, I decided to stay on, and then no regrets at all.
Brilliant, Callum. So we've got a lot of good young players coming through the system.
Hundreds. I've coached loads of good kids in that. Some have got huge potential in them.
Oh, that's good to hear for the future. Love to hear that. So let's talk a wee bit about your journey as a Falkirk supporter then. You mentioned your dad there. Presumably the support of Falkirk came through your dad then.
Not really, no. He's more like a Rangers fan, eh?
Oh, really?
My family's split. Some of my mum's side's Celtic, some of my dad's side's Rangers.
And you're the good guy in the middle.
But I used to be like, younger, I used to support them, but Falkirk would be like my side team. But like, I went to more Falkirk games, I thought, you know what? Just make Falkirk my main team.
Brilliant. Listen, that's good. Converting another one, I love that. I love hearing those stories when we convert someone from the dark sides.
Aye.
I always say it's like the Sith Lords in Glasgow, and then we're like the Jedis in the Falkirk, you know. I love a wee Star Wars analogy, me. Who's your favourite Falkirk player then, Cal?
Sean Mackey. Just needs to be Sean. Big Sean.
Big Sean, there you go.
Big Sean. Oh,
of all time, Sean Mackey's your favourite of all time?
Not all time, no. All time. Matinho, or yeah, Mark Kerr.
Pedro Matinho, what a shout that is, by the way. I don't think anyone's ever seen Pedro.
Yeah. Pedro's a proper legend, isn't he?
I love Pedro. Do you know what? It's our mission. We've not done enough interviews, but we need to get an interview with Pedro. It would be unbelievable. Yeah. He's still working at the Sepia? No.
Is he still local, is he?
I don't know. I don't know if he is or not, but he was doing some work. He was playing for Bo'ness for a while, wasn't he, Pedro?
Yeah, I think so. I remember. But he did go junior, didn't he? So I don't know where he stays now, but that would be amazing to get him on. He would have some proper stories, a bit like Russell Lappy, who we're obviously going to hear from in the summer at the event. But Pedro would definitely have a few tales.
Absolutely. Actually, Ross, on this, we've not actually asked this question to you. Who's your favourite current Falkirk player? Because you've got your all-timers. Who's your favourite current Falkirk player?
Aye. I don't know.
Putting you on the spot here.
You have put me on the spot, actually. Do you know, probably currently, Leon McCann. Leon McCann. There we go.
There you go. I'm going to say Big Hendo. I love
it. I was going to ask you, I thought you might have said Cole Donaldson.
Now you put Cole in the mix. Big Cole. All I'm waiting for is for Cole to stand up and strike a free kick. Like, because there's been a few teases of it. As soon as Cole rattles a free kick in, that is, you know, he's going to surpass Hendo, but I love Big Hendo. But anyway, right, okay, let's talk about Falkirk versus Darvel, or Scotland versus Falkirk, I should say. Darvel 1, Falkirk 5. Where's your fairy tale now, Darvel? Gary Oliver, Callum Morrison, Liam Henderson, Aidan Nesbitt, Craig McGuffey, all getting the goals for the Bairns. We're back to normal shape, thank God. Back to normal. Ty Kennedy, Callum Morrison coming in, and then we had Oliver back in as well, with Cole Donaldson coming back in as well for Sean Mackey. And, you know, the build-up was all about Darvel. We heard Mick Kennedy on this podcast last week. Mick Kennedy was in every bit of media on the run-up to the game. And, you know, absolutely fair play to the guy, and fair play to Darvel for absolutely milking it. But all I heard on the radio, on the newspapers, on the telly was Darvel this. I think they can do it. Can they? Aye. Can they? No, they can't. No, they didn't. Absolutely not. You know, it was interesting to see, and you guys were obviously at the game, but I watched it on the telly, and I don't know if you saw John McGuinn's pre-match interview with the BBC. He wasn't a happy boy, I'll be honest with you.
Do you know, I didn't see it at the time, John, but I watched it when I got back, because I was absolutely buzzing when I got back. And even though it was really late, because the bus took like a, don't even ask what route the bus came home, it was bonkers. But we got back quite late and I thought, no, I'm going to watch it. So I watched the interview before the game, and John was proper,
He was raging, wasn't he?
He was wired anyway. You could tell he was wired, but he was raging about the whole Darvel chat. And he was like, no, we're... Do you know what I mean? We are taking this. This is all about us. We're not under any pressure. We'll do our own thing. And you even saw that. You know how they showed the clips of the players coming in? The players' brows were down, chests out. They were ready for it. You could see that and just walking off the team bus. So absolutely brilliant for the team and the management. Brilliant.
Yeah. What was the atmosphere like down there, Callum?
Yeah, it was amazing by both set of fans. The pyros were brilliant, to say at least.
Ross loves pyro, by the way. No pyro, no party for Ross.
Yeah.
Well, listen, he's right, though. The colour. And we asked... Well, sorry, I asked, because I know John's not on the pyro.
I'm like... I know you, Callum, you're young team, right? I'm like... What's all? I'm like, come on! What's this pyro? What's someone could take their eye out with that? I'm like a dad here. I'm just like, listen, you're going to take someone's eye out with that. There's going to be health and safety issues here. And you know, in all fairness, actually, for the club as well, you know, you can get fines and stuff like that. Stone Island boy next to me is like, come on, bring it on.
No, listen, the colour, the noise, the Falkirk fans were superb on Monday. And let's face it, 600 or 700 of the 900 couldn't even see the game. They were there, they were singing, they were shouting, they were doing everything. There was loads of flags. The pyro was there.
Back to the pyro.
To be fair, though, like, John, it was like you saw it probably actually better than we did at the game. But, don't get me wrong, I've said this before, as much as I do like it, I like the colour of Briggs. It's no great if it's going to injure, like if it's getting thrown out of the park or a photographer's son, that's no great. Or your brother in this instance on his TV gantry. Obviously, that wasn't great for Dave either. But I think the colour was, the noise that was there, Callum, it was just phenomenal. The fans did their bit, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I heard Darvel fans a little bit than the Aberdeen fans, I heard.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. In fact, we retweeted it yesterday. One of these YouTubers, Sam North, had done a video from the Darvel end, and I think he said the same. He'd been at Aberdeen, he'd been at the Falkirk game, and it wasn't just the number, because there was more Falkirk fans there than Aberdeen had. Yeah. But I think he said the noise was a lot louder as well.
I'd like to see the draw made after all the ties are complete, but do you think that fired into the atmosphere, the fact that both teams knew there's a chance that, you know, Darvel looking at that Ayrshire derby, we're looking at going, if we've got a game at home against Ayr, there is a good, you know, we've got a chance of getting to the semis. Do you think that kind of fed into that?
Definitely, yeah. Like, I think Ayr's the best tie we could have got to that.
Like, aye. No, absolutely.
I was on the bus when it got drawn, and the bus was bouncing with the draw. I would took Inverness here, but yeah, it was much better.
No, I absolutely. Lee Bowen coming back to the stadium as well will be interesting. Yeah. I actually went through the Ayr squad, and there's not one. Surprisingly, there's not one ex Falkirk player.
Is that the only Falkirk connection that's there? Is it
the only Falkirk connection I could spot? I might be pointed out otherwise, but the only Falkirk connection I could spot is Lee Bowen. But surprisingly, there's not an, because we've had so many thousands of players over the last couple of years, not one ex-Falkirk person in the squad, which is amazing. So early on, what did you make of the goings on early on? Was a bit of tension there, or we took control of and got hold of the game fairly early on, I would say.
Definitely, yeah. Like, when they two goals went in, I knew it was game over.
Glad you're confident. They've got straight off the back. I mean, it was, I think, Ross, it was professional from the outset, wasn't it?
It was. And again, I'll be honest. Obviously, my thoughts on the game are more from having rewatched it on TV, because I won't lie to you, I saw like two of the five goals live, because obviously the crowd situation. But absolutely phenomenal. You could tell we were up for it. Just as we said about them coming off the team bus, they were wired, they were tuned in. That was from the off. You could sense it. The passing was so on point. We were at them. We were closing them down. We didn't give them a minute's peace. And I actually fully disagree with some of the pundits on the BBC and others who are saying, oh, Darvel was still in it. They weren't. They were really, really, we were all over them. And even when it went 2-1, let's face it, they scored through an OG. They didn't score. They threw a cross into the box, and unfortunately, it's been fumbled into the goals. And I thought PJ was fantastic otherwise on Monday. But we were up for it from the get-go. I don't think there was any doubt as to who was going to win that game after 5 minutes.
I mean, when we got those two goals so quickly, I mean, brilliant goal, ball from Aidan Nesbitt, great work down in the corner, you know, pressing, winning the ball back. Brilliant ball from Nesbitt. It could have been Oliver, it could have been Morrison, because if Oliver had just let it go across, and Morrison's in as well. Gary Oliver, great finish from him, knew exactly what he was doing, into the bottom corner. And then, like, obviously on the television, they're showing the replays, and then suddenly it flashes back, and then you've got another great ball, this time from Liam Henderson, and then Callum Morrison. So, great first-time hit. Keeper didn't have the chance to set himself right next to the keeper's legs. Great finish from Morrison. And then you're 2-0 and you're thinking, like you say, Ross, professional, we're under threat. Game's a bogey now.
Done.
However,
yeah, that's how it felt at that point anyway, yeah.
I mean, and I'm going to go back. We talked about that when we were briefly talking about the Alloa game. From set pieces, I worry. And we saw, if not for an absolute world-class save, now that if any goalkeeper on a stage had made a save like PJ Morrison did from that corner, it'd be getting talked about and talked about and talked about. What an outstanding bit of goalkeeping that was from PJ Morrison to keep us 2-0.
It was.
Absolutely.
Save of the season?
Maybe.
So far, most important, it was... And I saw it very, very clearly, actually, at that point, because obviously there was a gap over someone's shoulder. But what a phenomenal save. And for me, as much as he made a cock-up with the goal, he earned his wage and he earned his crust on Monday night. And I know there was a wee bit of chat on the bus, actually, coming back saying, he's had his mistake, do we drop him for Alloa? No, we don't. Let's... back him and let him keep his place, because
I think that save cancels out obviously the mistake we'll get to in a minute, because we went in obviously 2-0 first half fine. Darvill need to come out and get that second goal, and again I didn't think it was going to come. We came out professional, apart from, you know, Ian McShane whips the cross over and PJ spills it into the back of the net. Unfortunate, but at that point, are you guys starting to worry? I mean, there was obviously groans in the crowd that you heard audibly on the telly, but are you guys starting to worry when it went 2-1?
A tiny bit, aye. Like, I'm like, oh no, we're in the bottle this year. Then when I thought they scored a second, I'm like, shit.
Yeah, then, there was that moment when that second goal situation, and I'll go back to properly saw what happened. I was more watching the crowd of Darvill fans across the way for their reaction. But there was momentary panic, but you knew, you just had that feeling for the team, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a worry on the telly when I was watching it and I saw that side net rattle. But it was obviously Morrison that had caught it with his leg when he done it. But the whole Darvill bench obviously stormed onto the pitch thinking they'd scored. You know, and it was just like, oh my God, it's going to go 2-2. This is going to be an absolute nightmare. I cannot go into work. And by the way, I work on the radio, and I said on the radio, I was fed up all the Darvill stuff. And I said live on the radio, I said, if Falkirk were to get beat off Darvill, I'd walk down Darvill Main Street in a Falkirk top, a la Game of Thrones, with someone ringing a bell behind me singing shame, shame. But luckily, at that point when I was thought I was going to do 2-2, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to walk down Darvill Main Street. But it wasn't to be.
No.
2-1 continued. And then we get the sending off. I don't think it was for the foul. I mean, the first one he has, McGowan, it's you know, definitely a foul there. Second one, I think, was for persistent, because I don't think that merited a yellow on its own, but I think it was the one that he'd come before,
yeah,
where he battered someone into the side. I think the referee just said, listen, I told you no more of that. You've got to go after that.
And do you know what? As much as we criticise referees, and we definitely have criticised Willie Collum over the years, he was the most competent referee we've had all season.
God almighty, Willie Collum was like a beacon of light compared to what we've had all season. Jesus, I never thought I'd say the day when I was saying Willie Colin, what a fantastic game he had. He didn't get anything wrong. He got everything pretty much spot on. So, bloody hell, what a, that was! Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. But Willie Colin had a good game. And, you know, after the first one, it was a sending off, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Oh, aye. Definitely.
Yeah, but so then we go... send it off, and you know what, there was only going to be one winner after that, and you know it was Liam Henderson, who was having an outstanding game, and he was a monster in that middle of the park. His pressing, his winning of the ball, winning of headers, his distribution, obviously with assists for the goal, he worked so hard in that middle park. Best game in a Falkirk jersey so far.
I would say so, more than deserved his goal as well. And it was such a nice goal to see. Like, obviously, it was a beautiful on the TV because you saw it from different angles. But live at the game, Callum, we were all kind of right behind it. So it was in all the way. And it was just like such a nice flick of his neck and his head, you know. So, and as you said, John, more than deserved it.
Absolutely. Great ball from Callum Morrison as well, who again had an excellent game out there. On the wing. I thought Kai Kennedy had a really good game as well, but yet I went on to, I saw Rangers forums slagging him off, and I was like, you know, I thought he had a really good game.
I thought he did well. I don't know whether, do you think Rangers fans maybe have a higher expectation that he should be doing better in League One, or yeah. I don't know.
I think so, That's Rangers fans for you, though.
Well, exactly. See, you're a Jedi, Callum. That's why you know what you're talking about. Right, but yeah, and then so like 3-1, and I mean, from that point on, you're just like, it could be anything here. It could be, and it was. Liam Henderson, he's now my new favourite player until Cole Donaldson scores the free kick. But again, pressing, determination, you know. And it all feeds in from just that initial chat from McGlynn. I'd love to hear what he said in the dressing room before the game, because you could just tell they were, right, let's just go for it now. Yeah. Liam Henderson could have just stepped away, you know, at 3-1, worked down that corner, won the ball back, little ball to Nessie. And Nessie, by the way, if he could finish like that every week, what a delightful finish from Aiden. What did you make of the goal, Callum?
First, I thought it was a cross, to be honest. I seen it in the corner, like, that's not good. That's definitely a shot.
Oh, no, it was a delightful finish across the keeper. Great. But
back to Hendo's goal. That's been coming for a while now. He's been deserving of a goal.
Yeah.
See it every week. He's trying hard. And I think he's finally got it. And then that's going to put confidence in him. Hopefully, he scores more.
No, absolutely. You know, I think, and like you're saying, it's just the difference he's made in that midfield. He's a big thing to do in our, you know, our six-game run there. He's had a lot since he moved into that midfield position. We didn't talk about the injury to Brad McKay. I've not heard anything about how bad it was to Brad Ross. Have you got any update on it?
No, not really, mate. It is a worry because he's obviously been a real, real big player for us in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. Callum, have you heard anything?
Callum's at the stadium. You heard what's inside?
I've heard anything, but I've heard nothing, though.
He's talking. He knows what's this crap.
I can tell with the smile, can't he? But it looked a sore one. It did definitely look a sore one. So hopefully he's not going to be out too long.
Because the last thing you want, I mean, because Liam's doing so well in that midfield, is, you know, because Paul Watson's still not available. Sean Mackey's obviously Callum's favourite player. He's going to go back in. It's a centre half there with Sean and Cole, which doesn't worry me at all. But if they pick up suspension or injury, we're then going to have to sacrifice Liam Henderson in midfield and back in. I wonder, and this is just pure speculation, that with the money from the cup run, and I'm guessing there's going to be money there with Mikkelsen, being injured and going back to Dundee United, I wonder if he'll go out and try and get someone to just for cover for that centre half, like a loan deal from a club somewhere.
Yeah, possibly. You would think we're probably covered in other positions, although Mika Sinney obviously thought he needed that sort of.
But Lowell will be back. I mean, Lowell was surely. I saw Lowell kicking about there. So I guess he's on the cusp of the comeback as well. Yeah. So we've got Lawal to come back in as well. So I wonder if centre half, and if depending on Brad Mackay's injury, if it is a bad one, like you suspect, if that's where you wonder if I need a wee bit of cover there, because I don't think Paul Watson's going to make this season. Though he was right, I saw he was running on Monday there, Paul Watson.
Right, okay, that's positive. Then I like Paul Watson. I think it'd be great to have him back for whatever the end of the season brings, whether it's a cup run or playoff or winning the league, whatever we can do. It'd be nice to have him back for the end of the season. So, and you've obviously got, again, I don't know how far away he is, but you've got Ryan Wilson obviously in there as well. So as an option.
Ryan Moyer's centre half, is this what you're trying to say?
Well, no, but as in the defensive cover, I mean, as
right,
in
okay, that okay. Perspective.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, more so defensive cover. But it's interesting. I think you're right, John. There's obviously the money situation. You would assume this is going to help fill. I don't mean fill the gap because they've told us the gap's filled, but it might mean that we're now not having to borrow money from a major shareholder to get us through the period. So, and if that's the case, that's brilliant, because it means that when there is more money coming in, we're not having to siphon it straight away to pay back someone. So that's a huge positive. But if there is any excess money, I'm sure John McGlynn will be chapping the boardroom door, especially as we can still sign a loan deal for another 2 weeks. So let's see what we can do.
Can we see anyone about the club today?
No.
Actually, he knows something.
He knows something, John.
I'm telling you. Right, anyway, so we'll wait and see what happens there. Fifth goal, again, goalkeeper. I don't think it was a goalkeeper's fault or more a defensive fault, but he came out, palmed it straight into Morrison. Morrison just onto the side. McGuffey just, taps it.
Nice finish.
It was a good finish, first time finish from Craig. So good to see McGuffey coming off the bench. You know, and he's a forgotten man, Craig McGuffey, but when he does come off the bench, he gets goals, he affects games. So it was good to see him getting a goal as well. So
going back to the keeper, when the goals were flying in, my first thought was he was obviously in the media in the lead up to the game saying how he's taking the Tuesday off just in case. Well, I'm hopefully enjoyed his day off. Doing nothing.
I know, they were all like, yeah, I can just imagine we're already going to Glasgow for a night out, and then
I know
Walker destroyed the dream. What a shame. But yeah, five, it could have been probably more. We really, after that sending off, we really came down on them. And again, I think we've got to give credit to Darvel. I mean, to get to where they are for a team that, are way, way below us in the league. And, it feeds into, I think there's always been an argument down, and maybe Callum, you know more about this from the foundation, just the pyramid system. There's been a lot of criticism of the pyramid system lower down. And there are a lot of teams in Darvel's league and about that bringing in big supports. You look at the infrastructure and the money around Darvel, and these are teams that could maybe, I've got SPFL goals, I'm guessing, and the pyramid is something, I guess, that, the down the other quick, because I think the way of getting in, I think is they've got to play so many legs and then play a Highland team to even get into the lower league, the Lowland League. It's just like, there's something to be said about restructuring down that end of the table when you see someone like Darvel, isn't there?
I just think so, yeah. Like, I'm going to give them 3 seasons. They'll be in the leagues.
Do you think? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Very possible. Obviously, I know we're griping about the where the away fans were standing and stuff, but that would have easily been rectified had they done something similar like they did at the home end. So, and that's I'm sure that would be easy enough for them to do. But the pitch was like an absolute bowling green.
The pitch is brilliant.
It was amazing, and if you can't play football on that, you shouldn't be playing. But I thought, good setup. Obviously, we had Mick on. He comes across really, really well. I don't know if he's keeping his sponsorship of the speakers night, because he said he took a table for that, did he? probably cancelled that now on the back of the result. But I agree. I agree with Callum. I think they'll be there or thereabouts in the next few years.
Yeah, they'll be interested to see what they do. So there we have it. Not got a quip from John McGlynn this week because he didn't interview with Falkirk TV. Lewis must have been a TV issue, but Lewis didn't. Would you like to hear from Big Hendo? I think, well, let's hear from Big Hendo, the main man of the game. BBC didn't give him man of the match. Absolute disgrace. Though Callum did have a very good game and he got it instead. But here is Big Hendo talking about the game with Lewis.
Well, what's it mean to be in the next round?
Oh, absolutely everything. It's brilliant. Brilliant for the club, brilliant for the boys. We're all buzzing, so really good day.
Is that your best game in the Falkirk jersey tonight?
Yeah, I'd say so. I enjoyed that tonight. The whole team worked really well and we needed that that bit of dig and battle, and then the quality shone through in the end.
We saw there was going to be, we knew there was going to be a midfield battle in the game, but you seemed like you really enjoyed that one tonight.
You know, definitely. The Falkirk fans came through in numbers, which was really good, and we knew it was going to be a tough game. Darvel were a good side, they showed that, they beat Aberdeen, so we'd done our homework on them, and we've shown that we're well organised and we won the battle in the end.
High tempo at the start, very deliberate.
Yeah, it was, both teams were right at it, it's going to happen, Scottish Cup tie, so we just had to ride that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then we got on the ball and we scored two good goals.
And how important was that, not just the first, but to get the second one so soon after the opener?
Yeah, it deflates them a little bit, and they got a lucky goal, well, not lucky, but a hard one for PJ, and it kind of gives them a little lift, but I thought we dealt with it. We got in half-time, and the second half, I thought we were much better.
It was a lot of composure on display as well. How important was that?
Yeah, we had to be composed. It's one of the games that you need to try and get on the ball if you can. I hear the music there. Because if you keep going long, it gives him a chance to win it. But I thought we'd done really well.
One of the key things I noticed as well was we consistently kept Darvel penned into their own final third. To what extent, as a player, does that kind of drain you when you're playing against that?
It does, aye. We fought Kai and Cal, we get at the fullbacks and the spaces they created, so that was kind of the game plan, was get the ball and get in between the fullbacks and centre-backs, and I thought we'd done that well, and when that happens they drop off and then you can get to play. So
talk us through the goal.
The gaffer said that a few times. He went, Hendo, you'll be a big player for us, getting in the box and arriving late. So when I seen Cal delivering in it, I just thought I'd take a wee chance and glance in the header and I went in, so I was buzzing there.
And that's it, at that point, really just kind of restored the footing in the game.
Yeah, definitely. And then after then, I was like, come on, lads, let's get another one. Let's go again. So I thought we'd done that really well tonight.
To what extent did that third goal kind of put things to bed?
It killed him. Because they were pushing for the equaliser, and that third one took the steam out of them a little bit. And I thought that we dominated after that.
5-1, does it flatter ourselves? Is it a bit harsh on Darvel, or is it a fair reaction?
Sure, yeah, I thought that once they got the man sent off, we took really control of the game and the third goal, and we kicked on. And as players and the team, we've got the spirit, we want to get more, we want to keep scoring. So, I'm pleased for the lads and for the club.
And I think we can hear by the music in the background, party time in the dressing room, is it?
Definitely, yeah. I was saying to the gaffer, he's got a day off tomorrow, so we're all going to Glasgow. No, I'm only joking. I wish we were, but no. We've got a massive game on Saturday coming up, so back to league business, and we'll hopefully take care of that on Saturday.
And just finally, what does it mean to be playing Ayr United back at Falkirk Stadium in the next round?
Massive, massive chance. They'll be saying the same, so let's take care of league business first, and then we'll focus on that.
Liam, congratulations on the goal, and as always, that's your
turn. Cheers, thank you. Cheers, guys.
By the way, Lewis managed to get a full interview in. That's just one John McGlynn question, and it's less.
Normally, isn't it?
Yeah. Usually, that was 318. That was a full interview with Hendo. That's usually one question for John McGlynn. And by the way, they went out in Glasgow. There's no denying. He's making a joke. I were only joking about going to Glasgow. Aye, he's went out in Glasgow. We all know. Spotted in the sub club or whatever he's wearing.
Oh, were they?
No, I'm just making it up, by the way. I'm just in case John McGlynn, I don't know if they were in Glasgow or not. I'm just speculating. But
I can see John McGlynn being the Alan Ferguson of the nightclub world in Scotland. He'll get a text saying, so we Leon McCann entering the temple.
Monday night in Glasgow, it'd be the garage. I think that's the only place you can go Monday night in Glasgow. Anyway. We'll fight. I'm sure they had a great time.
You know what I liked there, John? See when he was talking about PJ? In terms of like the mistake. I don't know if he's noticed this, but I only noticed it if you're watching the game back. But Hendo goes straight to PJ and almost lifts him up. And I don't mean just physically. He obviously, you saw like he was properly having like try to get PJ back in the zone of kind of what we needed to do. So I thought that was brilliant by Big Hendo.
Yeah. Hendo's like that, eh? So I'm also with the Foundation, I'm close with some of the players, and Hendo's like that. He likes to get players back in the zone, and that. And I think it's good. We need a player like that.
Yeah.
good leader on the park. You know, you can see in his interview, just full enthusiasm, loves football. So well done, Hendo. And I love the fact they were playing The Gambler by Kenny Rogers in the background. I don't know if this is some sort of new Falkirk anthem or, you know, if that was getting played from the dressing room, if that was coming over the Darvel speakers, but I love The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. What a tune. Anyway, right, we'll get a view from the supporters. Callum's just sitting there going, what's The Gambler by Kenny Rogers? Honestly, going to any bar in Glasgow, do karaoke, someone's always up doing The Gambler. Right, anyway, what's the view from the supporters on this game? Let's kick off with Westie. Very professional performance this week, 2-0 from PJ. The only real negative is it led to a shaky spell where they thought they had equalised. The sending off killed the game and the finishing was top drawer. Hendo was unbelievable. Bring on air for a place at Hampden. Come on, you Bairns.
There we go. Daryl says Henderson has been a massive difference in midfield. Ever since he's played there, it's coincided with a good form. Spot on. Oliver's been fantastic on this run as well. I know he doesn't get a lot of goals, but when he's in the team, we do play far better. Hard to argue.
Yeah, Brian, happy to be 6'4". This is Brian Flynn from behind the wall. He's happy to be 6'4", and one of the few had a decent view. Loved it once we got the third. Big Hendo, outstanding. Highlight was the Darvel bench doing a Fergie on the pitch when they thought they had equalised. Priceless.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think Brian probably would have been one of the few standing back. Right. That was happy. William says, played with the right attitude from the first whistle. We were on a hiding to nothing last night with the whole of Scottish football rooting for Darvel. That potential shock was virtually eliminated from the first whistle as we got right in their faces and the third killed it.
Absolutely. David says the attitude and the work rate of the players was spot on. For me, that's more important than who plays up front or what formation. We won as a team. Well done, McGlynn, and all the players for getting it right.
Indeed. Martin says Liam Henderson completely bossed the midfield. I can't believe that BBC Scotland never gave him man of the match. A professional performance, and we did the job expected. They wanted us to lose, but better meddle with a deal than the Bairns a Focker.
Exactly. Can I just say as well, Ricky Foster was like on the telly, was just like, I think they're over celebrating. Hold on a minute. The BBC have just spent a week blowing smoke up Darvel's arse, right? The players have seen this, they've read the papers, they've read the radio, they've just had a favourable draw against Ayr in the quarterfinals. They've got a potential of getting a hand in. Fucking right, they're going to celebrate.
Of course.
Because get it right up you. So, absolutely, Ricky Foster, talking shite.
It's probably just a negative wee shite because he's... Is he not married or goes out with that moaning singer who used to...
Aye! Amy McDonald's a lovely, lovely girl. Don't be mocking Amy McDonald. She's a really, really nice girl. And obviously went out with one of our former players, Stevie Lovell.
Yes.
There's no... There wasn't over celebration. That's all I'm saying. So
no, there wasn't, no.
No, definitely not.
There you go. But Liam Henderson should have got man of the match. Do agree with that. Derek, I thought Henderson and Nesbitt were superb all game, pressing, creating, scoring goals, completely dominated the middle of the park. It was a great team performance, thoroughly professional, and deserved to win by that margin. One step away from Hampden, says Derek.
So close. Ryan says professional and clinical performance. Henderson and Morrison, absolutely outstanding. PJ's mistake can be forgiven with a couple of great saves that he made. 100%. Never looked out of control at any point. The subs made a positive impact again, and we are one tough game away from Hampden.
Yeah, because, I mean, Ayr will fancy this as well. Ayr will be, apart from not being a home draw, that's the draw that Ayr would have wanted, us at Inverness. Yeah. That's the draw we would have wanted as well. So, that's it. Garrett says, Liam Henderson, that's it. That's the tweet. And John says, as we are now the lowest ranked team left in the cup, does that mean we get the rank of the fairy tale bestowed upon us and I can expect the entire town to be interviewed on the telly? It's a fair point.
It's not going to happen. I don't mind it, though, because we're not media darlings.
We don't care.
Because we're forever getting... passed up on social media about, Falkirk, they think they're bigger than they're... No, do you know what we are? We've got ambition to be where we've been before and we want to get back there. That's what we are. We don't think we're a team that's in a place where we shouldn't be. We deservedly are in League One, but we want better, and we can do, we can get there.
No, you're right, Ross. Spot on. Absolutely spot on. All right, okay. So will we just pretend that Aloe didn't happen? Will we just concentrate on Darvel for Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty for this week?
Will we? So. Yes.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, pretend that the Aloe game didn't happen. Right, okay. Right, so Falkirk Daft rated. Let's come to you first, Callum. What you go? Who are you going for?
Liam Henderson, straight up. At least you, Liam Henderson.
Yeah. Ross.
Make it too easy.
It's the hat trick for Big Hendo. You're some man, Hendo. Some man.
Some boy.
Love it. Right. Anyway, Falkirk Daft rated Liam Henderson. Falkirk Dafty.
I think it has to be the wee Polish guy. I kicked the ball and fell on his arse.
I heard about this. I heard about this.
You tried to kick the ball back, he just fell on his arse.
Is that the guy that looked, and I know you know him really well, John, so I'm going to say this in a positive way, but there was a policeman who looked like Grado from Scott Squad. Is it the same policeman, Callum?
Maybe it was Grado.
He had his face straight away and just faced the game. Did not look at the Falkirk fans at all.
That sounds like something that would happen in Scott Squad. It might have been Grado. I'll message him now and find out.
Done that, faced the game. The rest of the game, but didn't look at us at all.
Hold on, we'll do it. This is me being all showbiz now. I'll just voice note Grado to see if it was him. Hold on.
Can you not phone him?
No, I'll voice note him because he'll send the voice note back. Grads, there was accusations that you were at the Falkirk squad dressed as Hugh McCurdy and that you tried to kick the ball and fall on your arse. Apparently it was a post that looked exactly like you. So there's speculation that it could have been a Scott Squad sketch. Can you confirm or deny this? We'll see if we get something back from him by the end of the
show. Just such a name dropper.
Oh, yeah, just drop a name there.
Even giving it the big nickname in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Got to show off and all that. You know, I do a wrestling podcast called Wrestling Daffy Grado. That's how I know I'm that's it. Right, anyway, so if you like wrestling, listen to Wrestling Daft. So that's Falkirk Daft from Callum. Have you got one?
I'm going to give the Falkirk Dafty of the week to the steward, who obviously did a fantastic job of searching everybody going in for pyro, because he obviously did a fantastic job. Did I not?
Did you manage to see your pyro in, Ross?
I'm a big fan of them, but I where the hell did they hide them? Because
I don't want to know.
Absolutely everywhere, right? And I mean everywhere. And how the hell have they got them in? Listen, I'm a big fan of them, but I don't think I would risk...
I don't know where they hide them.
No.
Yeah, I don't think we want to know. I'm going to give Falkirk Dafty to Ricky Foster after that bit at the end.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is a good week, apart from Aloha side and the Dunfermline Airdrie game. But listen, it's all about this cup. That's what I say. It's all about the cup this week. Wow. So quarterfinals. Here we come. We'll find out when that game will happen in the next week or so. Callum, thank you so much for being our guest pundit this week. Good luck with all the work, and thanks for all the work you do at that foundation.
I've got more points to make, actually. I've got my notes posted just through the wall there. It's got a big hole in the wall.
Oh, it's right eyes.
So basically, in 2022, we had over 3,000 take part across all our programmes, from minis and babies to a blind club that we do for, like,
wow.
So the youngest person that takes part is only 18 months old, who takes part in our minis and babies. And the oldest is 99, who comes to the blind club, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's more than football, the foundation. It's stuff for the community as well, to socialise and that. And we're big on mental health as well. We help lots of people with mental health and that. Also, we have like SQA programmes, college courses that help young people gain qualifications like me. So I was a student on one of our courses. So I left school with no qualifications and I wanted to gain some. That's how I got my coaching badges and my mental health, my first aid and that. The foundation's done a lot for me. And our player pathway is also brilliant. Our women's pathway is from under sevens to our women's first team. We've been doing really well under manager Craig Tully. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, we've been keeping an eye on their scores and giving them a shout out and stuff.
Our boys' pathway is also brilliant, under sevens as well, up to our fit team. So yeah, obviously Stevie Gibson messages in as well.
Yeah.
I help out sometimes help with them because my dad coaches them. I help out with them.
Brilliant.
They're a great bunch of lads. Stevie's a good lad. Also, the boys' program, you can get brought up to the academy that started up. So I've seen players 1 week they were at a foundation team next week there with the academy. It's brilliant. And and also, you're with the foundation, you're really close with the club as well. Like, I'm good pally with some of the players. Great bunch of lads. John Paul as well. Top boys. Like I say, he's been here 3-4 years, still off and it's still going strong. And one day, I'm one work for the club. It's my ambition to work for my club.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Listen,
and for anything to do with the Falkirk Foundation, falkirkfoundation.org, is that right?
Aye. Yeah.
You can get involved. You can follow them on Twitter at FalkirkFCF as well for any updates. They do an amazing job, not just, you know, for the club, but for the community.
Yeah.
You know, see so many kids, and Liz Callum's saying there, just touches every aspect of the community, and you are doing great work, Callum, so thank you for that. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you involved full-time at the club at some point, because you're certainly just putting the graft in, mate. And if you do spot any rumours, you know, see anyone about the stadium in the next couple of days, you know who to talk to, eh? We won't tell anyone, honestly. But listen, thanks for coming on and being a guest pundit this week. If you want to be a guest pundit just like Callum, please drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or an email. We'd love to hear from you. falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Oh, we've heard back from Grado. Do you want to hear what Grado would say?
Let's do it then. Yeah,
oh, this is unedited. This could go either way. I hope he doesn't say anything offensive. Here we go.
See if any fat policeman does anything. Folk always ask if it's me. I can confirm it was not me. I was not near the Falkirk squad. And by the way, the Buffs, Cowan Rangers, I've got a new management team. Assistant manager, Ian Durant. And I would put our Cowan Rangers side against... I would take the Buffs against Falkirk if they played each other tomorrow.
There you go. It was great. It was just a fat boss.
Aye.
And he's trying to say winning Rangers would beat Falkirk. Shut up, Grado. Right, so
that was him. He's a lying bastard. That was him.
So thanks for coming on, Cal. We'll see you again sometime soon.
Yep, she's little lads. Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So we're moving on to the next game. We came at the stadium. Oh yeah. My God, when was the last time we were at the stadium? Back at the start of January. Mental.
It feels like so long ago.
It does feel like so long ago. I can't even remember what the score was.
I can't even remember who we're playing.
Probably Alloa, because that's it was probably Alloa.
Yeah, I know, but just play Alloa.
I can't remember. Was it? Let's try to have a guess at this.
Oh, wait, was it Montrose? I've got Montrose in my head.
Look at results. I cannot believe it. That is how long ago?
Has it not been like 5 weeks or something?
Yeah, it was. Oh, God, where are we? It wasn't actually Ross. The last game we had at the stadium was against Clyde, and it was 4-0. Cole Donaldson got sent off.
Oh, of course.
That was on the 14th of January. Jesus God. So it's been a run of 5 away games. And guess who we're playing on Saturday at the stadium?
Alloa!
We don't really have to preview this game, do we? We have spoken about them. The one thing I would say, you know, after watching us last week against them, is let's just play our game, play our own game.
Yep.
Not fannying about with the formation. We're back on our own pitch. We know the width works. We know we've got two of the best wingers in the league, out and out wingers who like to get players. I guess there could be questions. I mean, Brad Mackay, I'm guessing Sean Mackey will come in for Brad, because I don't think Brad's going to be ready for Saturday.
Yeah, I would assume so.
And I think that's probably the only change that will get made, unless he wants to try Roman or Jordan Allen up front. Or Matthew Wright. That's the way.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be minimal changes from Monday. He likes a winning team, as we know. Brilliant win on Monday night. I'd be shocked if there's too many changes. I think you're right. I think it'll be Mackie.
Yeah. As we see though, Alloa are no slouches. We saw that at the Rex. They are into the playoffs now, and they are on 39 points equal with Airdrie at the moment. They will fancy to come and get some. NFC Edinburgh are howling run at the moment. 4 losses on the spin.
Yeah,
It looks that way, certainly. Montrose are kind of up and down, so I'll really fancy their chances of getting into this playoff spot.
Definitely. And as you say, we don't really need to preview, because we've played them twice in the last 4 weeks, but this will be a different game. The two games against them at the Rex were tough games, but as you said, this is on our pitch, which is a big pitch. We know how to play it. We know it. We scalped them out of our place in October, so we know how to beat them. So let's just repeat that October game and we'll move on, and hopefully Andrew get a point or three at East End Park.
Well, let's hope for that. Score predictions for Saturday, Ross?
I think it'll be... I know we've had a couple of tight games with them, but I think we'll score a few goals after the confidence for Monday night. I'm going to say 3-1 Falkirk.
3-1 Falkirk. I'll go for a 2-0. No, in fact, I'll say I'll go 3-1 as well, because I think Conor Sam will inevitably score in the stadium. We'll wait and see what happens there. But that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. A lot to get through this week. Big question will return next week. I'm sure lots of people have been waiting for that to return. But in the meantime, thanks for listening, watching. You'll get us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Like and subscribe. We'd love to get some more sponsors on, though, Howard. If you're a young business out there, we've got packages to suit everyone. We're a growing podcast. We can really touch into local communities. We've got a lot of people getting their eyes on our social media channels. If you want to be involved with Falkirk Daft, we'd love to have you on board. Please get in touch with us, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, if you would like to have your business featured all over this podcast. And remember, if you can join our Discord channel. A lot of great chat in there, a lot of members, and I think there's over 100 members in the Discord channel now as well. A lot of Falkirk discussion goes on there before, during and after the games as well, as lots of rumours and speculation. On to Alloa now, back to the league. Bring on the quarterfinals. I'm wanting that to come really, really soon, but we've got a lot of grounds in between there and now, and we're still waiting to find out when this Dunfermline game is going to be rescheduled for.
Hopefully that won't be too far away, getting that confirmed now that we know the sort of cup situation as well. But you're right, John, we've got three huge league games before we even think about here, so that's 9 points that could go a massive long way.
Exactly. We'll see you back at the stadium finally on Saturday, and until next time,
moan the Falkirk Bairns, John, expect the unexpected, buddy.
I was going to say, that's not your catchphrase. Expect the unexpected.